866. And now, Phil Hendry.
In about 45 minutes, a major announcement concerning this show. In about 45 minutes. Or maybe we'll announce it sooner. Right now, I do want to bring on the line David G. Hall. He's the Vice President of Syndication for The Phil Hendry Show, and I know you want to be a part of that announcement that we're going to make later on in this hour, David. We thank you.
Very exciting stuff, Phil.
We thank you for being on the program, and we also want to share with our audience the contents of a meeting that you and I had earlier about The Phil Hendry Show and some of the things that we're thinking about doing, and we wanted to open this up to input, I guess, from the audience, because I had some concerns.
Well, you had some concerns about the things that I suggested, and I think that your concerns are not founded in thinking this thing through, but I'm happy to talk with you about it on the air if you want.
All right, here is the...
Understand that what I do, Phil, is, as a programmer, it is my job to make the programming as accessible to the listener, as good to listen to as possible.
Right. We were talking about retooling The Phil Hendry Show and making it into more of an advice show.
And less of a news talk show.
Less of a news talk show. News talk being something that I guess you think is over?
I think that news talk is over the heads of a lot of people. I think that what people want these days are the advice-style shows, the call-in psychology shows. These are basic, primal stories about problems that people have, whether it's domestic violence or drug abuse, whether it's teenage pregnancy.
You and I talked about this.
You and I did talk about this, right.
And my reservation was simply this. I'm not a professional doctor. I'm not a professional therapist. I don't have a license in therapy.
I understand that.
And so if I'm giving people advice, what if I give them the wrong advice?
All right, and I explained to you, if you give them the wrong advice, then they might act on it, and they might not, depending upon what kind of people they are.
But what if they do act on it?
What is your fear?
My fear is that I am doing a psychology show. People are calling this show for my advice. I give somebody the wrong advice, and they go out and they kill themselves.
They commit suicide.
The worst-case scenario, yeah.
What is the ultimate fear?
Well, the ultimate fear is obviously that, not to mention the fact that the person has died and there's a tragedy, it exposes the show to legal action.
All right, let me explain this to you.
Okay.
People that listen to psychology call-in advice shows are obviously listening to those shows because they can't afford to go to a regular psychiatrist or a psychologist, okay?
You explain that.
All right. If they can't afford to go to a psychologist, then they obviously can't afford an attorney, so you are not going to be sued by the relatives of that person that killed himself. So let's just say...
All right, let's say I give someone some advice.
You give a teenage girl some advice based upon the fact that she's pregnant. You're not a professional therapist.
Right.
She goes out and kills herself.
Which would be a tragedy.
It would be bad, but you're worried about being sued, right?
Well, there's a lot of things I'm worried about, but yeah, I would think that the family would then sue me.
They can't. They won't sue you.
Why?
Because they obviously don't have the money to go to a real head shrinker. Why are they listening to you? Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil? In other words, if she calls your show to get advice on her pregnancy, obviously she hasn't got two nickels to rub together. She's not going to go down to a head shrinker. She's not going to go to a psychologist. Some of these guys cost $200-$300 an hour. You've been to one of these guys?
I've if you're asking me if I've been in therapy, yeah.
You've been in therapy?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Well, that's something we'd want to talk about a little bit later.
What's to talk about? Yes, I have.
Well, I would suggest that you not mention that on the air.
Well, you asked me the question.
I didn't know you were going to say yes. I didn't know.
Well, what difference does it make? I've been in therapy, okay?
All right. You tell me, how much was it?
It was $100 or something like that.
$100 for what?
For an hour.
What was wrong?
None of your business.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
What? None of your business. And I dare say there are other people who work for you and other people in life who've been to therapists.
I've never had to go to one. I don't know.
All right, well, good for you.
Did he ask you about your mother?
It's never mind, okay? We're talking about me doing a call-in psychology show and the fact that I am not a professional. And
you don't have to be a psychologist.
No, but I ought to have some degree or some license in counseling.
No, you don't need that. Because, again, anybody that calls you for advice, anyone that calls any radio head shrinker, any radio call-in advice show, obviously they can't afford to go to a real psychiatrist. So they got to go to the head shrinker that they hear on the radio. They listen to their advice. Either it helps them or it doesn't. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. If they blow their brains out, which would be a tragedy, they commit suicide, you are not exposed because they can't afford it. Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil? In other words,
well, we're banking an awful lot on what you say are the people that listen to call-in psychology shows on the radio can't afford a psychologist.
No, they can't. Phil, these are the bottom, with all due respect to your listeners, these are the bottom of the barrel. These are people that have got all kinds of drug abuse, wife beating. They go down to get a tub of ice cream. I don't want to sound cruel, but if anybody's going to off himself or herself, better it be people that listen to radio psychology shows because, you know, they're not really functioning or contributing members of society.
And you know, the people listening right now can hear you talking about them.
Well, they're not going to remember.
The people that we're listening right now can hear you telling me, that they're not functioning, contributing members of society.
Well, they're not going to remember.
Why?
Because they're more interested in which psycho is going to call in or who's got a worse life than theirs or something like that. This stuff they're not listening to. And even if they're hearing it, they don't remember it. So when we get into the meat and potatoes of the hour where you start giving out advice, okay, then they'll be listening. But right now they're not listening.
So they can hear you say they're bottom feeders and that they got no life and news talk is over their head and they can't afford to go to a regular psychologist.
No. They hear it, but they're not really listening to it. Look, give out the phone number. And
all right, well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show. We are thinking about retooling our program and making it a call-in advice show or a psychology show, a program that I am uncomfortable with doing a psychology show. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a... You know,
I really think you ought to get off that, Phil. I really.
Well, I just. There are problems that I have in terms of licensing.
I told you, you don't have to be one.
And but if someone were to take my advice and be hurt or otherwise,
they're not going to sue because they
can't afford to go to a regular psychologist.
These people that we're talking about, the people that call radio call-in psychology shows. They talk about whose penis burns worse when they pee. They talk about, which sister's pregnant this month. They talk about whose wife got beaten last night. This is not a sophisticated crew of people, people who listen to these shows. So you don't have to worry about them suing you. They probably can't. They don't even know where to look in the Yellow Pages to find a lawyer. They don't know whether to look under L for lawyer or A for attorney. This is not a group of individuals who have the sophistication to actually sue you.
Well, you're banking an awful lot on what you, your perception.
Look, it's not just my perception. It's the research that we do. People that listen to radio psychology shows are what we call the bottom feeders. They're straight off of Jerry Springer. They're right out of the... Let me ask you a question. You remember when that closet... Remember when that homo shot the other one?
When the homo shot the other one.
On the Jenny Jones show.
Yes.
All right. What do you think happened there? That was ratings gold. She beat Sally. She beat Maury. She beat Montel. She beat Ricky.
She also got sued. They also took her to court.
What happened?
Well, I mean...
She got off. They couldn't afford a good lawyer. They could only get one out of the Yellow Pages. Some guy that couldn't find it with both hands. She walked. She walks, and she's got ratings on top of it. That's what I'm talking about. You got to listen to what I'm saying, okay? These people that listen to radio psychology shows think that President Bush is some guy in a porn movie.
Idiots.
Idiots!
And they can hear you telling them that right now.
They're not listening. They're just waiting to hear the next guy that calls in and beats his wife. That's all they, you know, just give out the number. I got to go... All right, I'm going to make a couple of, just send some emails. I'll be back.
You're going to be on the air with me.
Right.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry, David G. Hall. And a possibly a momentous turn for this radio show in terms of doing a psychology show. Now, giving out bad advice and somebody actually acting on it and killing themselves, apparently, according to Mr. Hall, is not a threat because people that listen to radio psychology shows can't afford lawyers, let alone good psychologists. And he uses it as an example. When the one guy shot the other guy on the Jenny Jones show, she walked and she got ratings on top of it. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, now, I had a couple of comments. David Hall of Vice President Syndication. Doing a psychology show means you could give out some bad advice. I'm not a psychologist.
You don't have to be a psychologist to do a radio psychology show. Just give out advice. It's look at the people listening to the show are listening in to listen to the interesting stories about wife beating or pregnancy or things like that.
But if I give out bad advice to someone calling in...
What are you afraid? They're going to kill themselves?
Or hurt themselves or do something that's going to hurt their lives?
And then you get sued by somebody that can't even afford to go to a head shrinker? It ain't going to happen.
All right, but I've been told there is such a thing as a contingency fee, that an attorney will take the case on a contingency. He'll sue.
And he'll hope to collect some damages.
Right.
What if he doesn't? Then he's out a lot of money, he's out a lot of work, and he don't get paid. No lawyer is going to take that. No lawyer is going to take any lawsuit against a head shrinker on the radio by somebody who's a bottom feeder.
And that's the other thing. You're calling people listening to radio talk shows bottom feeders. That's the part that you don't think they hear. Anyway, here's Kim on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to speak to Mr. Hall. Is that his name?
Yes, David Hall, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't listen to this radio program only because I usually don't listen to the radio.
Well, we're thinking of turning it into a radio psychology show, and that way perhaps you would be interested in some of your friends.
Okay, well, I have to tell you, you are a very insulting man. You are so obnoxious. I can't believe that you're on the radio.
Wait a second. What did I say?
What did you say? Everything that you're saying is so... I'm so...
Wait, hold on.
I have no vocabulary
I'm lost.
To tell you how I feel.
I'm you lost.
You are talking
I didn't say
about people that I, you are, they're basically...
How did I insult you?
Excuse me?
How did I insult you? I didn't do nothing.
How did you insult me? Well, first of all, I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to this program. I am not a bottom feeder. If anybody's a bottom feeder, it is people like you that just
stereotype. Wait a minute. Do you listen to these head shrink, the radio, you know what they call
it? As a matter of fact, sometimes I do. I think they're quite interesting. I don't know...
Well,
that I would actually call one up
well,
and
you
take
know,
their
then,
advice.
Then you know that it would be interesting if someone were to call in and kill themselves or something like that.
To kill themselves?
Yes,
I think you're being very irresponsible.
David, why do you think this lady would find that?
She says she likes the shows.
Doesn't mean she wants to hear somebody kill themselves.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely not. And you're talking about talking about your listeners. You don't know who these people are. Now, you equated this to the Jerry Springer show. On Jerry Springer, you know who these bottom feeders
ma'am, look at,
and yes, they
all,
are the bottom of the barrel, the
right,
people that go on
right.
Jerry Springer.
And the people that listen. I mean, well, I don't mean to call you one, but you listen
why
to the
not?
Show.
Why not? I'm listening to the program. You're calling everybody within earshot of you,
you say
me
that,
being one of them.
I mean, people listen to call-in talk shows, you know,
Not talk shows.
Well, the psychology shows.
Yeah, well,
I listen to Dr. Laura every day. I think that's a very interesting show.
Well...
Now, do bottom feeders listen to her?
Yeah, well, yes, of course they do. How else do you think
okay.
she's made the money
are they,
she's made?
Are you saying now, that
come on, David, watch it.
These no. shows...
Yes, of course.
Excuse me?
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't mean. I guess you're an exception. You seem to be okay. You don't
no,
find
there
that.
There are a lot of exceptions. You are so ignorant in
well,
what
no,
you are saying. It's
look,
amazing.
When that,
you said
when
that,
that
you did studies?
When that, yes, I've done studies. People that listen to radio talk shows generally are women who have a low moral.
Watch it, David.
Well,
Low moral what?
They don't have very high morals.
I think you have low character. I mean, ma'am, if
the shoe fits, you got to wear it, ma'am.
And well, how do you know it fits her?
Because she listens to the shows. And see? So what I'm saying essentially is this. If somebody were to listen to you giving out advice and they go out and they kill themselves as a result, you're not going to be sued.
I think it's very irresponsible that you're telling them to go and give advice willy-nilly to people. And he's absolutely right. He's not a psychologist. He's got no business giving advice about anything of a serious nature.
No, it doesn't make any difference because you don't have to be a psychologist to do these shows.
Maybe you don't have to, but it's irresponsible to do it without knowing what you're talking about.
What difference does it make? If these people kill themselves, frankly, it doesn't make any difference because they are...
Yeah, as you said, they are not actually functioning, contributing members of society. Here is Sean on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
I normally don't listen to you. I'm a news talk listener, but I'm driving in
Do you understand a lot of what you listen to, sir?
Excuse me?
When you listen to news talk, do you actually understand it?
Oh, yes, I do.
You do?
And
that's unusual.
Okay. Well,
most people who listen to news talk, they don't understand what they're listening to.
No, I enjoy it. I like to get a lot of my covered events from it because I spend a lot of time in the car. So I was searching through the radio, the stations.
So you understand all of the words. You know what geopolitical means?
Huh?
Do you know what geopolitical means?
The GOP or GO?
Geopolitical.
Geopolitical.
Right.
No, why don't you tell me?
Well, see, that's what I mean. Most people don't understand news talk. That's why what we want to do is do the psychology shows because that's about domestic violence and things like that.
Right.
And I
understand what you're saying.
And that's more interesting.
Yeah. And I understand your
Remember when the homo shot the other homo?
Yeah, I got it on the Jenny Jones show, yes. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. And I understand what you're saying. You're trying to say it's a lower class of people that listen. But you know what?
Well.
I think it's an ignorant fact if you think that
Look, you're not going to sue somebody because you go, like, let's say your first cousin shoots himself.
Right.
What, are you going to sue Phil Henry? No, you're not.
Personally, I won't, but there's a lot of people that will see an opportunity.
Yeah, but they can't afford a lawyer because they can't even afford a head shrinker.
But you know what? You have lawyers out there that will only take a fee if they win a case. And you know what? Your lawyers aren't. A lot of your lawyers are bottom feeders.
But what's more interesting, listening to Afghanistan or listening to a guy talking about how his shot-off testicle and the fact that he sleeps with his sister? You know for a fact most people are going to want to hear about a guy shooting his own testicles off. They're not going to want to...
I would rather hear about Afghanistan.
Well, you're not normal. You're not a normal listener. This is what I'm trying to talk
about. Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If a lady can get millions of dollars for spilling a cup of coffee on her, from McDonald's, you know what? I think somebody can get a lot of money if somebody offers some bad advice and somebody dies in turn.
Yeah, but you look, when Jenny Jones walked away from that rap, so it's not going to happen.
But not OJ right. walked away from his, too.
You got it. It even proves my point even more. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
I forgot about OJ. Thank you.
Yeah, he walked away because he had a good lawyer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry's show here. Let me go to Linda. We're talking about changing this show to a psychology show. Linda, go ahead.
Yes, good evening.
Yes.
I just want to make a comment to Mr. Hall.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you're absolutely absurd in what you're saying because it doesn't matter what status you are, if you're a millionaire or you're a homeless person in the street. We're human beings.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
What do you mean? You're saying everybody's a bottom feeder who calls the radio.
Everybody who calls the radio psychology show is a bottom feeder.
Why?
You also said that if they were to shoot themselves, better they do it than somebody else.
Well, think about it. Of all the people in the world that would commit suicide, don't you think the ones that call radio talk shows
You know what, sir?
First?
I'm not qualified to answer any of those questions, and neither are you.
Well, I am qualified to answer it, and the answer is yes. People that call talk shows should be the first to kill themselves.
How can you say that?
Because it's... Look, if you don't know, I don't want to be the one to break the news.
1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall with us, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendry.
All right, I told you that we would let you know about what we think is going to be a major web happening, and here it is. And it's very simply this, and you can't possibly become involved in this unless you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website, and that is a first-ever webcast. A first-ever webcast of our show and our show prep environment. So that is starting at 1 o'clock Pacific on December 21st, all the way until 7 o'clock Pacific. You are going to watch the Phil Hendry Show as it's being prepared, and you're going to watch the execution of the show on the web. Now you say, gee, I've seen radio shows before. What makes your show different? Well, what makes our show different is, first of all, we have all kinds of guests, and I do the voices of all of them. And we have all kinds of people calling in thinking they're talking to a real guy. And there's a whole lot of energy and there's a whole lot of motion that goes into doing this radio show, unlike any other show you want to talk about. And I don't care which one you want to talk about. We're not sitting on our dead ass behind a microphone just talking. What we're doing is performing. And I say we, it's primarily me. And I've had people 500, 600, 1,000 at a time line up around the block to watch us do this radio show. Well, we thought, geez, if people are going to actually line up and see the show done live, we've had people request to come in and watch the show. We've had had requests from, I mentioned last week, the Aspen Comedy Festival would like us to go and do our show there. And I'm not talking about doing it from a hotel room someplace where we can interview comics. I wouldn't go to the Aspen Comedy Festival if all it was for me to sit in a hotel room interviewing comedians. If they want to interview me, that's fine. What we're going to do is go to the Aspen Comedy Festival, get into a venue, and perform our show live for people. Well, that all having been said, we decided, why not take the show and send it to as many people as would like to watch us perform it? And that's what we're going to do December 21st, starting at 1 p.m. Pacific until 7 p.m., you'll get 3 full hours of us sitting in the office and actually preparing the show. Everybody on staff, you'll meet everybody. I might even grab my wife and kids and drag them in here. You'll watch us as we put the bits together. And then starting at 4 o'clock Pacific, you will watch us execute our show as we do it live on the air. What do I look like when I'm doing these characters? What's the studio look like? How long does Taylor stay awake before he just nods off? What's Chris doing in there when he's supposedly answering telephones? When in point of fact, there's he's opening up a cooler and there's maybe a English, you know, old 800 or something. You know, I don't know. What's Janice doing? Calling her relatives in Vancouver while I'm sitting here working my ass off. It's all available to you on our webcast, December the 21st. Now, how do you see it? You got to get a backstage pass. How do you get a backstage pass? You go to philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. That's our website. Then you click on a little box that says, had a backstage pass lately? Find out more. Now, this is going to be streaming video. This is not going to be refresh every 10 seconds crap. You got to understand, those of you who have seen these click here to refresh the image bull crap, we don't do that. We ain't playing that. This is going to be live streaming video of us doing the show. The great people at Be Here are going to be providing the equipment for us. It will be a few days before Christmas, kind of a little holiday send-off before everybody just bails out for the vacation time. It'll be a Friday, end of the week kind of a thing. It's just going to be fun. You can click it on at work. You can watch us while you sit there at your desk pretending like you're working. You can stay home that day and pump it up on the big screen. You can sit in your office. You can do whatever you want to do. You'll be able to watch the Phil Hendry Show, follow along through an entire workday, how we go into the office, how we put the bits together, how we come in here, how we execute them, how sometimes they're fantastic, record-breaking radio, how other times they're like, eh. Anyway, you'll see us as we sweat, as we slave, as we grind, as we grunt, as we... You know, just dig our way through a day. And all you have to do to get all of that is get the backstage pass. $6.95 a month. This is a free bonus. In other words, you're not just buying a one-time event. This ain't no pay-per-view. You get the Backstage Pass, which gives you 1 month of the Phil Hendry website. And that means it gives you 1 month of all of our audio. Our live audio, the daily live audio of our show, our 30-day archive, meaning there are 30 days of shows that have been archived, and our audio archives of short-form and long-form bits. More audio, more bits, more Phil Hendry material than any other website on the web. And believe me, there's a few of them out there that are posting our stuff, bad quality, recorded off the radio, mung, that, frankly, if you didn't get it for free, you'd go out and commit homicide. This, for only $6.95 a month, you get a quality website with all of our great audio. And this is a bonus. So we think that you'll enjoy this. And we're going to do this, you know, every couple of months, every 3 months, depending upon how the mood strikes us. When we'd like to put the camera in here and show you how well we're doing. Maybe when I lose some weight. Maybe when my face clears up. Maybe when Craig's skin clears up. We'll bring the bring the camera back in and show you how the show is executed, how it's put together, or how it's destroyed, depending upon the day. So go to PhilHendryShow.com, get that Backstage Pass, and get ready for the biggest event yet on the web. Now, I know what you're saying. Phil, the lady, when she gave birth to that kid, that was pretty huge. And the Victoria's Secret thing. Well, you got an argument, but I would say that this will be the very first time in the history of webcasting a radio show that you're actually going to see a radio show that looks interesting, doesn't just sound interesting. You're actually going to see how we perform this program. And I'm telling you, I get phone calls from people every week wanting to come in here and watch this show. People from Hollywood, people from the publishing world, people from the television world, other radio hosts. You would be shocked. You would be amazed. You would be agog and aghast at the names of radio personalities alone. And I'm not going to mention any names because I'd like to protect the identities of Kevin and the Bean. But I'm sorry, it wasn't Kevin and the Bean, because obviously that isn't their name. It's Kevin and Bean. No, I would never, ever violate the trust and the sanctity of people that have come in here, requested to come in and watch this program, big Hollywood names, because obviously Mark McGrath wants to maintain his anonymity. Oh, I'm sorry. So you guys, for only $6.95, and you want to know something? If you're right about now saying, oh, great, they got to watch it for free and I got to pay $7 a month, you got a point. You got a point. I don't know how. I can only tell you this. I promise from this day forward, anybody want to come in and watch this show, I'm going to charge them $7. And I don't care who it is. I get a call from anybody say, yeah, Mr. Hendry, Mr. So-and-so from the such-and-such show would like to come and see your show. $7. I beg your pardon? It's going to be $7. Give it to Chris Pelton. Not that he won't pocket it, but at least I know it's going to a good cause. Going to cost you seven fish in the dish to come in here. Yeah, Pelton, go out. If you're going to buy two packs of Marlboro Light, give me one of them, will you? So I can promise you that that will be the operating policy of this program. It'll be like a peep show. We'll just have people drop a quarter into a little cardboard tray outside. All right? Go to PhilHendryShow.com. Get your Backstage Pass. Coming December the 21st. That's not too far away either. That's a couple of 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks from now, you will see for the first time ever on the web, the Phil Hendry Show live streaming video. Not that every 10-second bullcrap. Live streaming video. 6 solid hours. The show prep process in the office all the way on through our radio show. So hit our website, and you'll be glad you did. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Remember yesterday we were talking about that kid, that Taliban kid? He's from Marin County, and he went over and he wanted to, I don't know what he wanted to do. Maybe he thought he was fighting for the Northern Alliance. I understand he was studying Arabic, but maybe he didn't get as far as the T's or something. He thought that, wait, what's the Taliban? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was fighting against the Taliban. I don't know what his problem is, but the Americans found him, and now he's home, or wants to go home to his mom and dad, which is it's fine. That's what American kids do. American young people, and no different my generation from this generation, most of us were going over to, like, Morocco and buying hash and then getting arrested. And, well, if you saw Midnight Express, there's the story right there. Go to Morocco, buy some hash, Moroccan sees you, you look like a European Christian, they arrest you. The Moroccans, they can smoke hash, but if you're a white man sitting on a bus in Algiers, forget it, Charlie. You will get arrested, you will get hassled, and you will get arrested. And go ahead and tell somebody down there that it's racial profiling. Because they don't care, baby. They put you away. I had a friend of mine arrested leaving Morocco on his way into Spain. Not by the Spanish police, by the Moroccans. They didn't want him bringing it into their country, and they didn't want him taking it out either. Where are you going with that? I'm leaving. I'm going to Spain. You can't leave our country with that. That's our dope. Put it back. Then you can go. On second thought, no, we're going to arrest you for trying to steal hash and taking it out of Morocco and into Spain, even though we don't approve of the smoking of that stuff in the first place. We're just going to hassle you because you got blonde hair, blue eyes, and you look like you might be, you look like we might be able to call you Mary some night. So this guy is over there with the Taliban, and of course, you've been reading the stories about the Al-Qaeda and they're fighting to the death. And it made me think about other, like the Japanese in World War II. I mean, if these Taliban are not that tough, if you consider the kamikazes and these Japanese soldiers that were living in the woods until, like, 1972. I looked up this guy. There was a Japanese soldier that they found in January of 72. January of 1972. What's this guy's name? His name was Corporal Shoichi Yokoi. And the guy was varying reports say that he was either a corporal or a sergeant. I don't know whether that means he was smarter or dumber than he should have been. If he was a sergeant, he should have known better. He's a corporal, he's just following orders. I don't know. But the guy was found in Guam in 1972 after living there since 1944, refusing to surrender to the Americans. Now, what happened was Guam was an American possession. The Japanese invaded and took over Guam during the course of World War II. And then the Americans took it back, and this guy went into the woods and hid out until 1972. And he said, we Japanese soldiers were told to prefer death to the disgrace of getting captured alive. Now, I don't think the Taliban could be any more hardcore than that. And these are the guys, too. Remember, they were flying airplanes into ships. They were kamikazes. They bonsai, wrapping crap around their head. I mean, and that Harry Carey, that's got to be. You know, it's one thing to take a pistol and blow your brains out. It's another thing to sit cross-legged on a mat and drive a knife into your gut and do it like, up and then left. Isn't that? It's not just put it in. You got to go up and left. All right, have you got that? Yeah, I think. All right, why don't you go ahead, give it a try. I'm not going to try that. Come on. This is the proper way to do it. If I don't do it that way, then what happens? You don't die. You stay alive. Okay. I tell you what, if I don't put the knife in me, I won't die either. I'm going to go to heaven if I put it in and do it up and over to the left. Is that it? Yeah, you go to heaven, man. If they don't see your guts were cut up in that way, then you're not going to get in. You got the wrong cut there. You're going to hell. Is that my left or your left? I don't know which way you want me to go. Come on. Okay, is it in? Yes, it's in. Now go up and left. Which way? Anyway, that's how those guys did it, and that's about as hardcore as it gets. We handled them with no problem. It took an A-bomb, but we handled them with no problem. Well, maybe it'll take an A-bomb for these guys, too. We got plenty to spare. Anyway, this guy was finally captured by some fishermen. Now, I found some stuff on him. If I have it here. He was a 22-year-old or 23-year-old corporal or sergeant. What happened to the stuff that I had on this guy? Oh, here it is. In 1972, after 28 years of hiding in the jungle of Guam, local farmers discovered Soicho Yokoi, a Japanese sergeant who was unaware that World War II had ended. Guam, a 200-square-mile island in the western Pacific, became a U.S. possession in 1898. The Japanese attacked. They captured it After 3 years of Japanese occupation, U.S. forces retook it. It was at this time that Yokoi, left behind by the retreating Japanese forces, went into hiding rather than surrender to the Americans. In the jungles of Guam, he carved survival tools and for the next 3 decades waited for the return of the Japanese and his next orders. After he was discovered in 1972, he was finally discharged and sent home to Japan, where he was hailed as a national hero. He subsequently married and returned to Guam for his honeymoon. Yeah, I guess you would have kind of an affection for the place, wouldn't you? Want to come home to Japan? Not really. I mean, this is... He honeymooned in Guam. The guy lived for like 40 years in a cave. His handcrafted survival tools and threadbare uniform are on display in the Guam Museum. He died on September the 23rd, 1997. He was 82 years old. And this guy, and he said, another thing he said this in 86, the only thing that gave me the strength and the will to survive was my faith in myself and that as a soldier of Japan, that it was not a disgrace to continue on living, but it was a disgrace to surrender to the enemy. So he would rather be living and eating, he would rather be eating weasel turds than live in an American POW camp. Talk about, you know, that's what I call rejection. That guy would rather be eating ferret, roasted ferret, barbecued monkey, than spend 1 second in an American POW camp. So if this guy is an example of what, you know, went down in World War II, how can these Taliban guys be any tougher than that? And where are they going to live? I guess they could go up in those caves for a while. They could go up there and they could hang out for a long time, you know. But I don't think there's any as tough as this guy. And he may be, there were probably more. This is the guy they found. If there was one, there's got to be two. And if there were two, there were probably three or four. And I know the other one they found on Gilligan's Island during that one episode in 1964. Remember that? There must have been another guy they found. That's how they got inspired to do that episode. These guys were flying airplanes into ships. These guys were, you know, they were killing themselves. They were, you know, they were committing that Harry Carey thing. Did Harry Carey get his name after that, or did they name it after him? Harry Carey, named after a Japanese ritual suicide. Anyway, supposedly they have an entire museum devoted to this guy, or a section of the museum. So I was reading this, and I'm thinking, good Lord. And when they finally find the guy, what are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
I'm not going to give up American at all.
Well, the war's over for 30 years, you idiot.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No, yeah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The war's still going on.
Well, nobody called any.
Well, how are they going to call? Where's your walkie-talkie?
Right here.
Well, don't look them that ever ready to last that long, are they? Now get your stuff and let's get out of here.
No, I kind of like it here.
Get out of here. You're standing around in a cave and you're doing this and that. What are you doing?
Well, the Empire, I'd never give up the Empire, say that we go to heaven and we...
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah. Come on, get your crap and let's get out of here. The Emperor say.
Oh, how is the Emperor doing?
He's dead. He ain't in no jungle either, man.
Oh, wow, and I thought for sure the thing going on.
Yeah, well, you know that big boom you heard?
Yeah?
That's the A-bomb. It's all over, okay? And I was like...
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, that's what that was. Jeez.
How are we getting home?
I will fly in an airplane, all right? You can get the outrigger canoe, the thing you hollowed out of a log. Get it out of here.
How Gilligan?
Yeah, the show's off the air. Just get your stuff and let's go. Phil Henry Show.